believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest tonight grew up in Rochester, New York, and joined the Navy in 1945 at age 17. He became one of our first Navy SEALs in 1962 and served our country for 45 years. In 2000, at the age of 72, he became famous overnight. We all came to know him as a competitor on Survivor Borneo, where he finished third. His name, Rudy Bosch. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible, presented by Trust in Us on News Talk 760 WJR.
Now back to Anything Is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's Jack.
We're with Rudy Bosch, who became famous in 2000 in the original Survivor series. Rudy, welcome. It's an honor to have you.
Thank you.
Can we start by talking about your childhood and your mom and your dad?
Yeah, I was born in Rochester, New York. My parents immigrated from Austria. They were both from Austria, one from Vienna, one from Lustenau, which are both ends of the country. They were pretty strict. I went to a Catholic school for 8 years, and they were pretty strict, too. So that's where I got a lot of my discipline. And when I went to high school, the Second World War was going on, and everybody was real patriotic, so everybody was going into the military. So when I was 17, I quit school and joined the Navy. I wanted to join the Marines, but they were losing a lot of people on Okinawa, and a lot of the Marines that got killed were only 17, so the mothers were complaining, so the Marines raised their age to 18. So I walked next door and joined the Navy.
Rudy, what did you learn from your dad, and what did you learn from your mom?
Well, I learned a lot of discipline. They were real thrifty. I mean, a penny went a long way in them days. My father made his own wine. He was a butcher, and we ate pretty good during the war, even though meat was rationed. He always seemed to get some good cuts of meat. I don't know how, and I didn't ask him.
You just ate it. So, when you entered the Navy in 45, what did you do in World War II?
I got in the Navy in April of 45, and while I was in boot camp, which was in Sampson, New York, on one of the Great Lakes, I mean on one of the Finger Lakes. I went to boot camp, and the war in Germany ended while I was in boot camp. When we graduated from boot camp, they lined us up, about 100 of us, and they said, does anybody want to join a special outfit? I put my hand up, and I thought there'd be 100 hands behind me, but I turned around, and I was the only hand that went up. So anyway, I got sent to Fort Pierce, Florida, which is the home of underwater demolition, scouts and raiders, outfits like that. And we started training. And what we were training for was the final invasion of Japan. And then in August, they dropped the bomb, the atomic bomb, and everything stopped. Training stopped, and we came back, and I had a help burn all the tents. We were all living in tents. We burned all the tents and cleaned up the camp and moved out. And about 600 of us went to the West Coast. And I ended up in China anyway.
Rudy, a lot of the men that enlisted with you, when the war was over, they just went back home. Why did you stay in?
Yeah, you know, there was like 300 of us going west on a ship and probably 3 million coming the other, coming east. You know, the war was over. They were all coming home. And I was one of the 300 going the other way. And all the equipment was left over there. And, you know, we stopped in Hawaii and the undergrowth was growing over the top of airplanes, and we stopped in Okinawa, and bulldozers were being pushed over the cliffs. They didn't want to bring none of this stuff back because I think it probably would have flooded the market. And anyway, we did pretty good after the war.
We're talking to Rudy Bosch, who has a history of volunteering time after time within the Navy. When we come back, we'll ask him why. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
This is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR with Jack Krasula.
Welcome back. We're with Rudy Bosch, who in 1962 became one of our first 50 Navy SEALs. Rudy, let's jump back to 1951.
Okay.
You agree to go with the UDTR, the Underwater Demolition Team Replacement. And then in late 61, you join as one of the first 50 SEALs. Why did you constantly agree to do these most challenging roles?
Well, in early 51, I was stationed in London, England, at the American Embassy. And I seen a notice in a magazine I was reading. They were looking for underwater demolition team people. So I volunteered for underwater demolition, and they sent me from London to Little Creek, Virginia. And at Little Creek, it's about a six-month training course that they put you through, and it's, I would say, in them days, it was 90% physical. I mean, you did a lot of push-ups, you did a lot of swimming, jogging, all that kind of stuff. And you didn't learn too much, but you did a lot of physical stuff. I got through training about, if 100 people start training, you're lucky if you get 30 of them. About two-thirds of the people get washed out for one reason or another. Mainly it's physical reasons. I made it through, and I stayed in underwater demolition for the next 11 years. We always were based at Little Creek. We'd get farmed out, but we always came back to Little Creek, which was good. You could buy a house, and you could maintain your family life a lot better that way. But in 1962, I was over in the Mediterranean on a ship with a detachment of underwater demolition team people, and we got a message. Me and another guy had to go back to Little Creek because they were forming a SEAL team, which neither one of us never heard of it. And we got back there, and we were one of the original 50 SEALs, both of us.
In April of 68, you get shipped to Vietnam. Could you talk about that experience?
And we built up a little bit from 50 people. We had probably close to 100, and Vietnam was getting hot and heavy. And in 1968, me and 11 other guys, a platoon was 12 people, got sent to Vietnam, and we were in My Tho, which is in the Delta section of Vietnam, down south. You're in the rice paddies all the time. You're like in ankle-deep water most of the time. Your boots were wet the whole 6 months or a year, however long you were there. They never dried. Everything was humid. It was rough living down there.
How does one become a Navy SEAL today, Rudy?
Today, you would have to... Actually, what they're doing today, they're going to the high schools and they're talking these guys into trying to be SEALs. And they go to boot camp, and they try and recruit SEALs out of boot camp. But anyway, the guys that they get, they send them out to Coronado, California. That's where the basic underwater demolition SEAL team training is. And they try and, anyway, they put these guys through training, and they still only get one-third. I don't care if they make it easier or harder. They always continue to get one-third of the people. But nowadays, they're getting a lot smarter people. They're bigger. I mean, some of these guys are a head taller than I am. And they're just better people, I would say.
Can you share with us what the training is like for a Navy SEAL?
Well, the training is, actually, you never end up training as a SEAL, but the basic training is a six-month course, and for the first 3 weeks, you do a lot of push-ups, jogging. It's all physical. And then they have what they call Hell Week. It's a week of, they just keep you going. You're lucky if you get 4 hours sleep that whole week. I mean, you're walking around in a daze. That's where most of the people quit. And after Hell Week, they start teaching you. You start learning different things, and it gets a little bit easier. They're not so bad on physical training, and but anyway, you never quit physical training. You never quit learning. There's always something new coming out, and they give it to the SEAL team to try this, see how you like it. And it's a never-ending evolution.
You served our country for 45 years in the Navy. How did you stay so long?
Well, after I got in the SEAL team, I liked what I was doing. You know, you'd wake up in the morning, you didn't know if you were going to go out making a free fall parachute jump, diving under the ocean, 50 feet underwater. It's all exciting stuff, and I like that. And that's probably one of the things that kept me in the Navy. Plus, you know, I liked my job.
Why did you decide to finally retire in 1990?
Well, I didn't decide to retire. They more or less told me to get out. you know, after you get 30 years in, they want you out. And every 2 years, I had to write a letter, can I stay in? And I got up to 38 years, and after that, I had to write a letter every year, can I stay in? Then I got up to 42 years, and it was getting real hard to stay in, but then this job in Tampa, Florida opened up. It was they were looking for a sergeant major or a senior enlisted advisor to take over Special Operations Command, which included the SEALs, the Rangers, the Special Forces, Marine Recon, all them special outfits. And actually, I was the guy that got picked, and overnight I became in charge of all these people, which really made me proud.
We're talking to Rudy Bosch, who in 2000, at the age of 72, was named by People Magazine as, quote, one of the sexiest men of the year. Brad Pitt beat him out that year. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
You're listening to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Brought to you by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Once again, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're talking to Rudy Bosch, who's recently written a book entitled The Book of Rudy. Rudy, for a young person today, why should they consider a career in the military?
Well, like I was saying before, it's exciting. You're going to be doing something different every day, especially if you're in an outfit like the SEALs. I see a lot of these guys, and I say, you know, they're high school graduates. I says, you can probably go out and stand behind a lathe and make $100 an hour because you're a good person on a lathe. But you're not going to have the fun that you would have in the military. I don't know if everybody would call it fun. I do. I just enjoy being around other military personnel, and it's a real good life.
To Rudy Bosch, what makes a great leader?
In order to be a leader, I think a lot of it comes naturally. I ended up being the Command Master Chief of SEAL Team 2 starting in 62. I went right up to 1988, and then after that I got transferred down to Tampa in the headquarters, and I was the leader down there too. I think it just comes naturally. I never had no trouble with leadership, and some people can do it and some people can't.
Rudy, what's the key to performing under pressure?
Well, I think if you can make it through SEAL training, there's nothing that bothers you. I mean, you've done everything already, and I don't care what they want you to do, you can do it.
We're talking to Rudy Bosch, and I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back to Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Presented by Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm. Now, here's your host, Jack Krasula.
We're with Rudy Bosch, who owned two Bronze Star medals for heroic action during more than 45 combat operations in Vietnam. Rudy, you've been described with a lot of different adjectives. I'd like to throw them out one by one and have you talk about how one becomes that. Number one, courageous?
Courageous. They, in the SEAL team, they tell you to do something, and you're going to do it. I don't care how tough it is. You'll do it, and you'll probably do it better than it's ever been done before. I don't know if that's courageous or what, but we just did everything they told us to do, and we could do it good.
Just like Marge tells you, right?
Absolutely.
So, your wife of 50 years.
Yeah.
All right. Second, self-assured, confident.
Like I said before, if you go through SEAL training, if you make it through, there's nothing they can throw in your way that that you can't do. And, you're real self-confident.
You're a man of your word.
I was always, pretty truthful. If I gave you my word, you could bet your life on it. Otherwise, I won't give you my word. But I always did what I said I was going to do.
Disciplined.
Discipline you learn in the military, but I had discipline before I came in the military. And I think I learned that in the Catholic school. They beat it into you.
Yes. Obedient and respectful.
That's the same as discipline. They teach you obedience in a Catholic school too, but I was obedient at home.
What would you say, Rudy, to somebody who says, "Rudy, I get tired, I get dejected"? What advice do you give me?
Well, the best advice I could give them is join the military. You'll never get tired, and you'll never get dejected. Well, you will get tired, but you won't get dejected. They'll keep you busy, and that's what I think you got to do, keep busy.
What do you say to someone who says, "I'm afraid of failing, so therefore I don't try in the first place"?
The people I was with all my life we went through some rough training, and the people that made it through never failed, so I never ran into them kind of people. If you're with SEALs, you're not going to fail.
Were you ever afraid, Rudy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. I'd get afraid, but you get over that.
It's 2000, you're 72 years old, and they decide to start this reality show, Survivor. How were you ever selected to be one of the survivors?
I read a small article in the paper, and the word challenge was in there, so I read it through, and they didn't mention money or nothing, and so I was going. I put in for it anyway. I was going to do it, try it anyway. And I think the first survivor, 7,500 people, got put in for it. Now it's well over 100,000, but the first one, 7,500 people put in for it, and I was one of the ones that got interviewed, so I had to go up to Baltimore to get interviewed, and the first question they asked me was, "What if there's a homosexual and a lesbian on the island, what would you do?" I says, "I'd throw them off," and they says, that's the end of the interview. And I went home, they called me back, and I got interviewed again, and that's the same. They asked me the same question again, and I answered it the same way. Actually, they asked me that same question 10 different times, and I answered it the same all 10 times, and I got picked.
What did Marge say when you came home and said, "Honey, I'm going to be on a TV show"?
Well, She didn't say much because she's used to me being gone, you know, and kind of the military. In fact, when I did Survivor, I was gone, actually gone for 45 days. When I walked back in the house, she says, "You back already?" You know, that was a short trip.
So,
what did you learn from that experience, Rudy Bosch?
From Survivor, I learned putting up with the people was the hard part of the whole show, you know, because everybody out there wasn't my type of person. I wasn't used to that type of person. And like I said, putting up with the people was the hard part.
After 72 years, you're suddenly famous. People recognize you, call you. What was that like?
Well, when that started, you know, I was up in Montana, and they were showing the third episode of that show, and I was walking down the street in this little town, and some guy hollered, "Hey, Rudy." And I turned around, you know, I thought I knew the person, but it's been going on like that for the last 7 years now. And, you know, just on kind of them recognizing me on that show.
Who's the most famous person that's ever come up to you and said, "Are you Rudy?"
Well, me and my wife was sitting up in Central Park in New York. And this guy walked up and said, "I always wanted to shake your hand." So I stood up and shook his hand. And I says, "What's your name?" He said, "Donald Trump." And Marge was kicking me in the leg. She knew who it was, but I didn't. I'm probably the only person in the world that ever asked him what his name was.
What did his hair look like, Rudy?
I didn't even look at his hair. I don't know. He was taller than I was.
Was he there with a lady?
No.
No? So, well, maybe someday you could be on one of his shows, too. Do you think all this celebrity business, this fast life, has changed you at all?
Not in the least. You know, I got used to being recognized. And, in fact, Mark Burnett, the producer of Survivor, called me up, and he wanted me to be on another television show, and I said, "Why don't you get somebody that knows what they're doing, you know, like Jeff Probst?" And anyway, he talked me into being on his show. I was on they had 24 contestants, and I was the camp commander. The show was called Combat Missions, and he finally talked me into doing it anyway.
We're talking to Rudy Bosch. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Trust in Us, a world-class executive search firm, presents Anything is Possible with Jack Krasula on News Talk 760 WJR.
Welcome back. We're with Rudy Bosch, who in 2000 was a competitor on Survivor Borneo at 72 years of age, where he finished in third place. Rudy, who are your heroes?
Well, I'm my own hero. You know, I did everything. If anything that anybody wants me to do, I can do it. I got the nerve to do it. I don't have the physical ability that I used to have, but I can still do things. I'm my own hero.
A while back, somebody asked you, who do you admire the most from these 50 years, other than presidents or generals? And your answer was, my wife. Can you talk a little bit about Marge?
Marge is something different. Recently, we went to the Senior Olympics National Senior Olympics in Louisville, Kentucky, and she took third place throughout the country in racquetball in her age group. And that, I think, is something to be proud of.
What has she taught you, Rudy?
Well, Marge is one of a kind. I don't know how to explain her, but she is a good girl, and I'm glad I ended up with her.
So, you once said that, or she once said that, he may be E9 at the base, but I'm E10 at home.
Yeah, that's definitely right. You know, she is in charge, and I do what she tells me to do.
Like the military.
Yeah.
So, Rudy, what do you love most about America?
Well, you hear all these people, I'm going to leave the country. I don't agree with this. I don't agree with that. The only thing I can tell them is let them go, because there ain't no better country in the world than the United States. I've been all around, and nothing can compare with this. I mean, if you want a hamburger, you can get it at 3 o'clock in the morning. You can't do that in a lot of places. Not that I would buy one anyway, but this is the only place I'd want to be.
If you could change one thing about the United States, what would you change?
Well, right now, immigration's a big problem right now. My parents were immigrants. In fact, I used to get up and talk to people, and I'd say they should have knocked off immigration in 1923. And finally, somebody will come up and say, why? Because my parents got here in 1922. But immigration, to me, is a big thing. And I think if they want to come here, they got to do it legally.
Are you hopeful about America's future?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm hopeful about America's future. And, you know, the military is a voluntary outfit right now, and that might not last because they are stretched thin, and if we get into a real big conflict, they're going to have to institute the draft again, which probably would benefit the people in this country.
A little more than a year ago, you had a routine stress test, and the doctor said, Rudy, you're going to the hospital. We're going to give you a triple bypass procedure immediately. Can you talk about that experience?
Yeah. You know, the doctor says you got some blockages and you're going to have to get them taken care of. And I thought he was going to say, like, within the next 2 years. But this was on a Friday, and by Monday I had it done already. And I come out of it pretty good. You know, like 4 days later I was home, and I was playing racquetball 2 months later.
We met a couple weeks ago down in Tampa.
Yeah.
You're 79 years old, and Rudy, you look like you're 50.
It's all that easy living.
So, how do you spend your time today?
Today, I'm still showing my face a little bit on kind of Survivor. It's definitely slowing down, but I'm still doing a little of that, and I keep busy. You know, I'm going to Florida next week for a reunion. I'm going to go skiing after that, and then I'm going to go skiing again after that. So I keep myself busy, and that's the solution to a lot of things.
You and Marge spent a lot of time giving back, volunteering. Can you talk about why people should volunteer?
Well, I'm a volunteer for the Red Cross, and I'm a volunteer for I used to give out parking tickets to for the police, to people that parked illegally, things like that. And I enjoy that. And I'm going to continue to do it as long as I can.
About 2 weeks ago, at the White House, President Bush posthumously gave out the first Medal of Honor for our conflict in Afghanistan and Iraq. It was a Lieutenant Michael Murphy. You've met some of these Medal of Honor winners. Can you talk about those people?
We got three Medal of Honor winners and the SEALs that are alive, and I met them. Michael Murphy died, but these guys are just normal people, and they're a good bunch of people. You know, you never think that they would have the Medal of Honor because they're just average, everyday guys. But they're SEALs, for one thing, but they're a good bunch of people.
To Rhody Bosch, what is success?
Success is doing something the right way, no matter what it is. If you're going to paint the house, do a good job. sweep the sidewalk, do a good job. You know, that's, to me, that's success.
What's the key to happiness?
Happiness, I think you got to keep busy. You gotta occupy yourself. Like right now, I'm retired. I could just lay around and do nothing, but that wouldn't do me no good. I gotta keep doing something. I gotta look for my next challenge, whatever that's gonna be. I don't know.
What dreams does Rhody Bosch still have?
I wish I could do the things that I used to do. I'm getting a lot slower at it, but I can still produce.
Rhody, last question. What advice would you give to our young listeners tonight?
To you young guys, I would join the military. You can't beat it. It's the best outfit in the world. It'll give you a good background. Even if you don't stay for 20 years, you'll be glad you did the 4 or 6 years that they want you to do. And it's just a good life, and I recommend it for everybody, men and women.
Rhody, I want to say thanks for doing this tonight, and thanks for serving this country for 45 years and being a real role model for all of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Jack.
Please join us next Sunday. Until then, I'm Jack Krasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohom.